Good morning. And welcome to First Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are most welcome here. And it's great to see so many of us this morning on Palm and Passion Sunday. We do have a few announcements this morning. In case you hadn't realized it, if you look through your worship guide, it's a little thicker this morning. We included the entire Passion reading for you, which will be done or proclaimed in Reader's Theater style this morning. So we will do that, and that's what all these are up here for today. Okay? Jen, do you have an announcement you'd like to make? Come, please. Should be on.
Hi, I'm with the World Services Committee. I have a couple of World Services announcements today. First off, the
Food Pantry. You need to speak right into that.
Sorry. The Food Pantry request for this month is pasta and pasta sauce, which you can bring in and leave the donation bins just around the corner. Secondly, the Easter offering letters were sent out last Tuesday, reminding you to bring in your Easter offering next week. However, if you are going to be out of town next week, the Easter donation envelopes are in the pews in front of you, and you can just utilize those this week and hand it in today. So, thank you.
Thanks, Jen. So, also, flower list for Easter flowers is up, and if you would like to order flowers in memory of someone or just to order flowers, please see Cindy out in this hallway after church this morning. I am told that Bless Buys will be open after church today and the heat will be on. So Bless Buys will be open and they have heat. Next Saturday on April 19th is our night at the Thunderbirds. And Michelle Weiner has been coordinating that. She asked me to let you know that ticket sales are happening right now. You're going to, if you want to join us, you're going to want to order that ticket in the next 2 days. It's near the end of their regular season, so tickets are going quickly. So we hope you'll join us, and you can come ride the Zamboni with me. Next week, of course, is Easter Sunday, but before that, we also have Maundy Thursday. Maundy Thursday's service will be in Southwick this year. In Southwick at 7:30. We hope that many of you will join us out in Southwick. Easter Sunday service here next week at 9:30. I have been asked to let you know that there will be no coffee hour afterwards, though. We'll have Easter, and people have, many folks said that they had plans and they needed to go do things, so we will do that. And be aware of that, please. Are there any other announcements this morning? Hearing none, let us worship God.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Please join me in the call to worship. Give thanks to God, for God is good.
God's steadfast love endures forever.
This is the day that God has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of God.
God has given us light.
Give thanks to God, for God is good.
God's steadfast love endures forever.
I'm going to ask you to please hold up your palms as we ask God to bless them. Bless these parade palms, O God of celebration. May they remind us of the simple joys of living. May we remember the excitement that comes with following Christ. Bless these funeral palms, O God of comfort. May they remind us of the road that lies ahead. May they encourage us in times of grief and pain. We give you thanks for the parade and the processional. Guide our steps through this holiest of weeks as we cry out together, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Amen. At this time, I invite you to please join in our opening hymn, All Glory, Laud, and Honor, which is number 227 in the Blue Hymnal. You were down right here. This makes my life easier. Good morning. Good morning to all of you. We need to remember something very important, particularly today and all week long. lawn. There are two times during the year when the church gets all hyped and celebratory and we pay attention to things. One of them is today and this week. The other one, when else do we get all excited? What do you love? You love what? When what comes along? What comes after Thanksgiving? I like Thanksgiving. Christmas. We get very excited when Christmas comes along. We need to be equally excited, if not even more so, when Easter comes. This week, starting today, is something we call Holy Week. And it's a holy time as we remember all the wonderful and sometimes sad things that Jesus did for us. Okay? And it ends with the best gift of all, and that's the resurrection. And it's kind of hard for us to understand all that. But I hope as we go through this week that we all, not just the kids, but we all pay attention to the events. We all take some time to reflect and to pray and to remember. Whether or not you can come to join us on Wandy Thursday out in Southwick, whether or not you choose to attend a different church service someplace on Good Friday, or to make a holy time for yourselves on Friday and or Saturday. So that when we gather together next Sunday for Easter, we can celebrate, truly celebrate, the resurrection. So this morning, our first reading starts with John's version, and the Gospel of John, it starts with his version and his telling the story of Jesus coming into Jerusalem. And then we have the big story afterwards. So I hope that we can all pay attention to that. All right, we're going to try really hard, right? Excellent. And as I said, our first reading this morning comes to us in the Gospel according to John. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. The word of God for the people of God.
The chief priests and scribes were looking for a way to put Jesus to death, for they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered into Judas called Iscariot, who was one of the 12. He went away and conferred with the chief priests and officers of the temple police about how he might betray Jesus to them. They were greatly pleased and agreed to give Judas money. So he consented and began to look for an opportunity to betray him to the chief priests, but no crowd was present. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying,
"Go and prepare the Passover meal for us, that we may eat it."
"Where do you want us to make preparations for it?"
"Listen, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house. He enters and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks you, where is the guest room? Where may I eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, already furnished. Make preparations for us there."
So they went and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When the hour came, he took his place at the table, and the apostles with him, and he said to them,
"I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God."
Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said,
"Take this, and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes."
Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying,
"This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying,
"This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But see, the one who betrays me is with me, and his hand is on the table. For the Son of Man is going as it has been determined. But woe to that one by whom he is betrayed."
Then they began to ask one another which one of them it could be who would do this. A dispute also arose among them as to which one of them was to be regarded as the greatest. But he said to them,
"The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? It is not the one at the table, but I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you, just as my Father has conferred on me, a kingdom, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit in thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, listen. Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your own faith may not fail, and you, once you have been turned back, strengthen your brothers."
"Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death."
I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day until you have denied 3 times that you know me. When I sent you out without a purse, a bag, or sandals, did you lack anything?"
"No, not a thing."
"But now the one who has purse must take it, and likewise a bag. And the one who has no sword must sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you, this scripture must be fulfilled in me, 'And he was counted among the lawless.' And indeed, what is written without me is being fulfilled."
"Lord, look, here are 2 swords.
"It is enough."
He came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he reached the place, he said to them,
"Pray that you may not come into the time of trial."
Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and prayed,
"Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done."
Then an angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength. In his anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down on the ground. When he got up from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping because of their grief. And he said to them,
"Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not come into the time of trial."
While he was still speaking, suddenly a crowd came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus said to him,
"Judas, it is with a kiss that you are betraying the Son of Man?"
When those who were around him saw what was coming, they asked,
"Lord, should we strike with a sword?"
Then one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said,
"No more of this."
And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple police, and the elders who had come for him,
"Have you come out with swords and clubs as though I were a rebel? But I was with you day after day in the temple. You did not lay hands on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness."
Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. But Peter was following at a distance. When they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. Then a servant, seeing him in the firelight, stared at him and said,
"This man also was with him."
"Woman, I do not know him."
A little later, someone else, on seeing him, said,
"You are also one of them."
"Man, I am not."
Then about an hour later, still another kept insisting,
"Surely this man also is with him, for he is a Galilean."
"Man, I do not know what you are talking about."
At that moment, while he was still speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the cock crows today, you will deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly. Now the men who were holding Jesus began to mock him and beat him. They also blindfolded him and kept asking him,
"Prophecy, who is it who struck you?"
They kept heaping many other insults on him. When day came, the assembly of the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, gathered together. They brought him to their council. They said,
"If you are the Messiah, tell us."
"If I tell you, you will not believe, and if I question you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God."
"Are you then the Son of God?"
"You say that I am."
"What further testimony do we need? We have heard it ourselves from its own lips." Then the assembly rose as a body and brought Jesus before Pilate. They began to accuse him, saying,
"We found this man inciting our nation, forbidding us to pay taxes to Caesar, and saying that he himself is the Messiah, King."
Then Pilate asked him,
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
"You say so."
Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds,
"I find no basis for an accusation against this man."
But they were insistent and said, "He stirs up the people by teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee, where he began, even to this place." When Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him off to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had been wanting to see him for a long time, because he had heard about him and was hoping to see him perform some sign. He questioned him at some length, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. Even Herod, with his soldiers, treated him with contempt and mocked him. Then he put an elegant robe on him and sent him back to Pilate. That same day, Herod and Pilate became friends with each other. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate then called together the chief priests, the leaders, and the people, and said to them,
"You brought me this man as one who was inciting the people. And here I have examined him in your presence and have not found this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he has sent him back to us. Indeed, he has done nothing to deserve death. I will therefore have him flogged and release him.
Then they all shouted out together, Away with this fellow, release Barabbas for us. This was a man who had been put in prison for an insurrection that had taken place in the city and for murder. Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressed them again, but they kept shouting, Crucify him! Crucify him! A third time he said to them, Why? What evil has he done? I have found in him no ground for the sentence of death. I will therefore have him flogged and then release him. But they kept urgently demanding with loud shouts that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate gave his verdict that their demand should be granted. He released the man they asked for, the one who had been put in prison for insurrection and murder, and he handed Jesus over as they wished. As they led him away, they seized a man, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country, and they laid the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A great number of the people followed him, and among them were women who were beating their breasts and wailing for him. But Jesus turned to them and said,
Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For the days are surely coming when they will say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that are never born, and the breasts that have never nursed. That then they will begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills cover us. For if they do not do this when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?
Two others also, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said,
Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.
And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying,
If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself.
There was also an inscription over him, This is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who was hanged there kept deriding him, saying,
Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us.
But the other rebuked him, saying,
Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong.
Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise.
It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. While the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two, then Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said,
Father, into your hands I commend my spirit.
Having said this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God and said,
Certainly this man was innocent.
And when all the crowds who had gathered there for the spectacle saw what had taken place, they returned home, beating their breasts. But all his acquaintances, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. Now there was a good and righteous man named Joseph, who, though a member of the council, had not agreed to their plan and action. He came from the Jewish town of Arimathea, where he had waited expectantly for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of God. Then he took it down, wrapped it in a linen cloth, and laid it in a rock-hewn tomb where no one had ever been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed, and they saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
times. I have been in the pew as long as you have been right now. So I'm going to ask you to take one moment and stand. Stretch if you need to. You may be seated. What I'm now going to do is I'm going to ask us all to take just a quiet moment of reflection based off the Passion. If you need to reread something in the Passion, please do so. I encourage everyone to take the worship guide home with them. Or you can use your own Bible, but so you'll have the Passion reading handy for you to look at again throughout the course of the week. And you can use it for your own prayer and reflection during the week. As we come to prayer this morning, we are ever mindful of those prayers and requests that are listed on the prayer list under joys and concerns. We pray for those people and who are members and friends of our congregation, for Armand and Barbara, Ann and Jeff, Dave, Joan, Shirley, Kathy, Marilyn, Leslie, Tom, Jean, Olivia, Susan and Betty, Mark, Bruce, Alan, Jody, Geneva, Janet, Pete, Darlene, Janet, Betsy, Nick, Jocelyn, Judy, Roger, Ann, and Bonnie. And we remember our friends in senior care facilities. We remember Nancy and Betty, Bob and Leslie as we continue to pray for these people. We also pray for the needs of our country, for those affected by decisions that have been made, and those who have to deal with the effects of decisions that are continuing to be made. We pray in thanksgiving for our government leaders, for those who continue to do the right thing and to guide us and to watch over us. We pray for our church leaders as well. And of course, as always, we pray for those intentions that remain in the silence of our hearts, known only to us and to God. And may God be with you. Please, pray with me. Through the shouts and branches, the Savior rides again into our hearts, our Jerusalems, the places that we have fortified, sometimes against even God's truth and love. Patient God, be with us today as we witness again the entry of Jesus into the holy city. Remind us that our holy cities, our souls, need to welcome Jesus truly in celebration and in commitment to his witness to us. We can so easily get caught up in the noise and forget Savior. We can get so focused on the celebration in colors that we look past the solitary figure on the small donkey. We stand at the gates this day to welcome Jesus. May our welcome of Jesus also be reflected in our welcome of others who come into our midst. Free us from judgment and prejudice, that we may be open to hearing your word through the ministry of Jesus and the disciples. As we have spoken the names of the ones who are near and dear to us, who need your healing love. O God, help us also to remember that we need a good measure of your grace and mercy. Bring us through this parade into the comfort of your love. Hosanna! Blessed is Jesus. Blessed is he who has come and continues to come into our lives forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My friends, the laying down of palm branches in the street was an expression of the hope of God among a desperate people. Today, we are invited to lay down our treasure as an outpouring of our gratitude for God's act of salvation in Jesus Christ. Let us give with shouts of Hosanna on our lips. With this, our morning offering will now be received. Thank you. Jerusalem, receive these gifts as an expression of our joy and gratitude. Take our voices and our offerings and use them to proclaim your salvation to all people. Amen. Even as we enter the darkness of this Holy Week.